is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Tuesday, February 18th, 2020, the first of our daily podcasts in 2020. I'm Buster Olney, and manning the board back in Bristol, Taylor Schwenk. Troy Farkas also pitching in today. Taylor, I'm at Rays camp this morning in Northport, Florida. I think that's where we are physically, or Port Charlotte. I don't know where the city line is. But you hear in the background the sounds of spring training. You got some birds. You got some Don Deere machinery. You got some sprinklers going off behind me. It's all glory right now here in camp. What do you think?
I mean, those bird sounds are really getting to me right now because it is so cold in Connecticut and there are no bird sounds up here at all. So we were talking before we hopped on the air and I was like, oh yeah, this really brings the ambiance. But as soon as those birds started chirping, that really like hit me in a soft spot deep down inside of me.
Yeah, the last 4 or 5 years when Josh was running the show, he actually would inject the sounds of birds. Like, people want to hear the sounds of birds in spring training. And so you're going to hear the sounds of birds here at Rays camp today. Now, obviously, a lot of, you know, storylines involving teams like the Rays have been completely overshadowed by what's going on with the Houston Astros this spring. We saw Carlos Correa, the Astros, punch back Cody Bellinger the other day. And it's clear that the Astros are frustrated by the drumbeat of criticism. As one player said to our Jeff Passan, when does it stop? But on Monday, the best player, a player with an impeccable reputation, joined the ranks of those ripping into the Astros when he met with the media. Here was Mike Trout.
You know, it's tough because you don't know, you know, what helped him or what not. But if you know what's coming, it's going to definitely help you, I think that's, you know, it's tough. You're taking the trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see for sure.
That sound from Rhett Bollinger of MLB.com, and we'll be talking with Dave Schoenfield about that and other matters in a moment. Sarah Langs will join us for this first show. Before we continue, I want to encourage you to check out the Woj Pod and the bonanza of content that came out of All-Star Weekend. He had Patrick Beverley, Jackie McMullen, and Ryan Russillo in front of a live audience on Saturday. And then he had, how's this for an All-Star lineup, Trae Young, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, and Nick Nurse on the show. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show, mate!
Welcome to the show! Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby!
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
Dave Schoenfield writes for ESPN.com. And Dave, welcome to the podcast for 2020. You're the leadoff hitter for the daily podcast.
Hey, I guess that's like a happy new year, happy spring training. Wait, happy spring training hasn't been so happy so far.
No, I was going to say being the leadoff hitter is generally a good thing, but not if you're the leadoff hitter for the Astros in 2020. That might be a little bit dicey. So on Monday, Mike Trout spoke, and in baseball circles, I really feel like it's words that are being carved on tablets. Mike Trout used the word cheat. He noted the absurdity of the advantage of knowing what pitch is coming at this level. Take note, Jim Crane. And he expressed frustration over the fact the Astros haven't been disciplined. He spoke forcefully as he has in any issue in baseball. And if you're the Astros and you're angry at the world right now, this might be the moment that forces you to look in the mirror. You know, I really feel like when Clayton Kershaw, CeCe Sabathia said something, the Astros might dismiss it as, well, those guys are sore losers because we beat them. When Cody Bellinger said something, they might think, well, what are you talking about? You were a strikeout machine in the 2017 World Series. Bo Bichette, Gleyber Torres have come out and said things. They might think, you know, shut up. You're too young to say anything. When Mike Trout says something, that has to resonate even with the most defiant of the Astros, because not only is he a great player, as you know, he's also incredibly respected within the sport, and they know him as a great and accepting person. And so I sent out on Twitter this morning that it's like getting yelled at by your favorite uncle. There's just something to it. What do you think?
Yeah, no, look, I applaud Mike Trout. You know, he's not always a man of many words, that's for sure. You know, so I'm sure he considered beforehand what he was going to say. He obviously knew these questions were coming to him. So he took obviously a very strong stance towards not only the Astros, but towards the commissioner. So as one of the faces of the game, I absolutely applaud him for coming down hard on everything that's happened.
So tell me how you think his words would go over with a George Springer, an Altuve, a Bregman, a Carlos Correa, you know, Marwin Gonzalez, not on the Astros anymore, but, you know, certainly we saw him early this spring addresses. Cause I feel like that they would just listen and say nothing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be any complaints among the Astros when Mike Trout speaks in this way. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, for all the, you know, apologies we've now seen the Astros give since that initial press conference, I still don't know if there's a lot of remorse or regret. At least, you know, look, I haven't been down there, you know, in West Palm with Houston, but that's the feeling I get from afar that they did it. They know they're supposed to apologize, but there's still a feeling of we got away with it. We won. We're the champs. So be it. So I don't think that feeling of remorse is there. Now, is that going to change because Mike Trout says he's lost some respect for them? Probably not. You would hope they would, you know, do a little inner self-reflecting and think a little more about their actions. But I think they're also, it's also easy to say this happened in 2017. We don't care. We're moving on. And maybe that's what the sport itself does need to do at some point this spring.
Yeah. And I feel like that it's best for the Astros at this point. You know, let's face it. They've taken a lot of incoming shots.
Yep.
They punched back the other day. I do think it's time for them to stop worrying about trying to save what they've already lost. You know, watching Carlos Correa over the weekend, push back, you know, talk about individual situations in the World
yeah.
Series when they weren't cheating. And I thought it was absurd. Yes, we were cheating in the first inning, the second inning, third inning, but in that run scoring spot in the fifth, we weren't cheating. You know, and to extend my comparison of the Astros with someone who cheated in a neighborhood poker game, can you imagine if someone said, yeah, we dealt from the bottom of the deck with the first hand, second hand, third hand, but we played that fourth hand straight up. Like, other players don't want to hear that. And I feel like that while Carlos was passionate in trying to absolve Jose Altuve and trying to draw lines, it's a waste of time. Their
yeah.
legacy is in cement. It's over in terms of the court of public opinion.
No, absolutely. And we all know there's only one solution for the Astros, and that's to go out and win the World Series in 2020 and at least remove the cloud of suspicion for this season when we're pretty sure they're not going to pull any shenanigans or at least cheat to the extent they have. That is the only way. 2017, as you said, that legacy, it is in cement. You know, it's always going to be in doubt. Now they got to go out and prove that they actually are as good as we think they are, at least as good as they've been the last 3 years.
And I do think that at some point it would actually help them to begin to concentrate on the challenge ahead, because we've never seen anything like this. Like
no.
what they're going to be dealing with when they're on the road, and whether it's calling Barry Bonds and asking, hey, how did you deal with this? Did you wear earplugs? how did you steal yourself? Roberto Alomar, how did you deal with this? You know, getting the mental coaches that teams employ these days, meeting with them, you know, pushing back on what other players are saying is useless. The biggest thing now is for them to prepare for this unbelievable and unprecedented mental challenge.
No, I think that's a really good point, because there are some real challenges. I remember A-Rod, after he signed with the Rangers, the first time he went back to Seattle, fans throwing real dollar bills on the field. I think that happened at various stadiums, you know. So A-Rod's another guy you could potentially talk to about dealing with this kind of adversity, because you're right. They can anticipate what might happen, but they should be prepared now for those first, I think Oakland is their first road trip in April, you know, and A's fans, they're going to be absolutely vicious for sure. They're going to be probably garbage can nights all around the majors throughout the season. They're going to get heckled, like you said, like no team ever before.
No, and just talking with players with other teams, they wonder about how the players will deal with that. They think, you know, dealing with a slump, as I wrote in a column the other day, like dealing with an 0 for 10 or an 0 for 11, that's inherent in the sport. Players go through that all the time. But when you have people shouting at you day after day after day, what do you need to know what the pitch is? What do you want someone to bang a trash can for you? Scream the negative reinforcement day after day after day is unprecedented in baseball.
And I'm fascinating what'll happen. Yeah, Jose Altuve or George Springer, they come out of the gate and they're hitting 178 after 2 weeks. Normally, we wouldn't pay attention to that. That would mean absolutely nothing. You can pick any two-week span during the season, and a great player will hit 178 at some point. But if you do it at the start of the year, how can some self-doubt not creep into their minds? You know, I think that's going to happen, and that gets back to how do you deal with this adversity.
All right. In recent days, Rob Manfred has been taking as much heat as the Astros. Here was Justin Turner on Monday, and Justin Turner had a lot of things to say. Here was about Manfred devaluing the commissioner's trophy.
For him to devalue it the way he did yesterday just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
He also talked about the Astros and how he feels like they didn't earn their World Series title.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what everyone thinks should happen. I mean, no one in this clubhouse or in this room is asking for a trophy to be handed to us by any means. We want to earn it. We want to earn it the right way. We want to, you know, like I said at FanFest, we want to be the last team standing. We want to catch the last out. We want to pop champagne and dogpile on the field. And we want to have the parade in L.A. But at the same time, you know, we understand how difficult it is, you know, to win a World Series. It's hard. It's really hard. And it's something that you have to earn. And obviously, you know, as the report showed, as all these guys from their club over there are coming back and apologizing and, you know, trying to make amends for it, it's pretty evident to me that it wasn't earned. And it's not something that, you know, a banner should be hung in their stadium. A trophy should be put up wherever their trophies go. You know, they shouldn't have, like, sorry, a World Series championship is earned, and it defines careers. It defines people's careers.
Yeah, Dave, a lot of pushback for what Rob Manfred said on Monday in his interview first with Carl Ravitch, and then when he met with reporters later in the day. I really believe that Rob should do the same thing that I thought the Astros should do at the beginning, is come out and admit your mistakes.
Yeah.
I think that would help him a lot in this situation. If he came out, you know, whether it's in an interview with Carl or when he met with the reporters or moving forward, and say, you know what, back in 2017, in all likelihood, unwittingly contributed to this problem because I wasn't hard enough in dealing with the Red Sox and Yankees in the Apple Watch thing. You know, I should have come out at that time and laid down the law and said, if you participate in this type of thing, you're getting kicked out of the sport. Privately, I've had so many conversations with players who said, if he had done it in that moment, if he had been that forceful in at that point, that players would have run in the other direction. That you have seen staffers who would not have even thought about participating in anything like this. And I think it would help him if he came out and said that.
No, absolutely, because now you're the rabbit chasing its tail, reacting to everything instead of trying to get ahead of the curve. And any good commissioner, any good CEO, they're anticipating a minor problem and stopping it before it blows up. And now this is a runaway train, right? This is not going to stop. And then his comment on the piece of metal, just absolutely disastrous, you know, and he's had a couple of those during his tenure. Very smart guy, but, you know, the Mike Trout comment a few years ago that was terrible about Trout not, promoting himself enough, and now this, you know, it's a stain, and it's hard not to compare him to Adam Silver, who certainly is a different type of commissioner, a player's commissioner. Rob Manfred, no player is going to sit there and say he's a player's commissioner.
Real quick, do you think that the title should be stripped from the Astros in 2017? I think it's impractical that once you start pulling on threads, which is what Rob said the other day, I think once you start pulling on threads and trying to undo what was done, it becomes way too difficult. And in the end, I do think that, you know, the Astros championship of that season is always going to carry that stain. As, you know, when we think of the 1919 World Series, we don't think about the fact that the Reds won it. We think about the fact that the Black Sox threw it.
Yeah, no, it's a silly idea. You can't go back. This isn't the NCAA and we quote unquote remove titles. And even the Dodgers previously Dave Roberts and I think even Turner had said during their fan fest, we don't want the trophy, but there's no doubt it's permanently stained.
I am really shocked that to this point, you mentioned Adam Silver. I'm shocked that Rob Manfred hasn't come out with hard guidelines for 2020. I thought that at some point in January, he'd come out and say, I'm going to state right now, if you break this rule moving forward, you're going to get kicked out of the sport. If you participate in sign stealing illicitly using technology, you're going to get booted out of the sport. He said the other day that there are going to be new guidelines and use of technology, but I'm still waiting for that penalty to be announced.
Yeah.
And I get it that I think sometimes Rob, whose background is a lawyer, gets caught up in trying to dot all the I's and cross all the T's as opposed to grab the high ground. This is the case, seeing all the damage that's been done to the sport, you know, all the questions arising about what happened in 17 and 18 and 19. This would be a moment where you call Tony Clark and say, Tony, you have to do what you're going to do representing the players. But I'm going to tell you right now, tomorrow I'm announcing that if you participate in this, you're going to get banned for life because I have to draw a line in the sand. And if you want to take that to an arbitrator, if you want to take it to court, whatever you want, you feel like you need to do, I understand, but this is what I need to do. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm wondering, what do you think, Buster, if Rob does come out and say that? Because right now we're seeing players talk against Houston. Would the union go along with no in-game video? And yeah, if somehow you get caught, whatever that ban is, be lifetime, rest of season, what, you know, whatever, would the union go along with that? Because Manfred might have support at this exact moment right now.
100%.
Yeah.
If the union fought it, you might have players calling them saying, what are you doing?
And the union, yeah, the union can't win that public relations war. Well, no, we're going to take this to an arbitrator. So I think Manfred actually has the moment on his side right now. And that's what I would like to see. I think you've written that. No in-game video. Turn it off. I know JD Martinez spoke out against that idea. You know, he's one of these obsessive video guys. Well, look, no, sorry. Make it back like, you know, high school ball. You against us. Play the game. No video. Do as much video as you want before the game and after the game, but not during it.
I was in Red Sox camp yesterday and listened to JD make that plea. I think there's some merit in what he's saying. I do think that there's some nuance there.
Yeah.
You could probably find a way with different feeds. But I agree with you that, you know, the priority should be making sure that players don't have access to video in a way that they could cheat. All right, let's spin off to some other topics. I know I get tweets every day saying, can we please talk about something else besides the Astros and sign stealing? I'm going to give you this first Bleacher tweet of our daily podcast. We got from BaseballFan1918. He asked, hey, with a new season kicking off, who are your top position players in the game right now at each spot? I didn't give you any advance warning of this, so I'm going to help you out by working off the top tens that I did during the course this winter. For first base, I got Freddie Freeman. I had Pete Alonso second. Do you back me up on that?
Yeah, no. I mean, Freeman's certainly a better all-around player than Alonso. Higher batting average, better defense. So I agree with you there.
At second base, I had one, DJ LeMahieu, two, Jose Altuve. What do you think?
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, LeMahieu, you got to think if there's anybody ripe for regression, it's him. But maybe that swing change that he incorporated in 2018 is for real. I'm going to go Altuve, though. I think DJ regresses a little bit.
Yeah, and you're going to do it while diving into a bunker from reaction.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the same.
Sure.
among the
but they didn't cheat last year, Buster.
Allegedly.
A
lot of great third basemen. Number one on my list was Alex Bregman, and now I'll dive into the bunker.
Man, third base is so loaded.
Loaded.
I mean, I need to do an
Jose
article.
Jose Ramirez and Nolan Arenado and
Rendon,
Chris Bryant and Rendon.
Rafael Devers. I would go Rendon, you know, just maybe a little hesitation about Bregman. But man, Rafael Devers, the year he had last year, 32 home runs, 50 something doubles, the defense was much better. But yeah, hard to put him over Bregman or Rendon right now.
We both agree Lindor is the shortstop.
Yeah.
And we'll get to Lindor in a second. The outfield, I had Juan Soto in left, Trout in center, Mookie Betts in right field. Right field was a completely separate conversation with Cody Bellinger and Aaron Judge and Christian Yelich. It's an absolutely stacked position. Soto, Trout, Betts in the outfield. What do you think?
Yeah, it depends where you line up Yelich. I think he played some left and some right, but he's probably what's slated for right field this year, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah, that puts him – I'm with you. I got to go Mookie. I'd put Yelich ahead of Bellinger, who tailed off, you know, relatively speaking to his amazing start. But, yeah, Mookie, his all-around play gives him a slight edge over those two guys.
And we would both agree that JT Realmuto, Muto is the number one catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
All right. I mentioned Lindor.
Position.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest story yesterday away from the Astros stuff was the back and forth with the Indians and Francisco Lindor. Lindor reiterated that he'd like to stay in Cleveland. I want to win here. I want to stay in Cleveland. This is home. I'm not playing to get traded or to put myself in a good spot to get traded for numerous amount of players. I'm playing to win. I want to win here. Chris Antonetti, head of baseball ops for the Indians, said it's a really hard situation. It's not because of a lack of desire on our part or on Francisco's part, but more when you look at the economics of baseball and the realities of building championship teams in a small market, it gets really tough. This feels like the exact same conversation we just heard in Boston, and the financial restrictions on the Indians are far more severe than they are with the Red Sox. They're all laying the groundwork for a midseason trade, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, but obviously Cleveland, much different situation than Boston. Lindor, I guess the trouble spot comes, what if they're in first place on July 18th? And then can you really trade them at that point? I'd have to look back and see if there's been a trade of that magnitude with the team in a playoff position. Probably not, but man, Cleveland, we know they're not going to be able to afford him. So I think even if they're in the playoff hunt, he might still get traded.
And I listened to John Henry at Red Sox camp yesterday, you know, with Tom Werner and Sam Kennedy flanking him, the leadership of the Red Sox, talk about how, you know what, we needed to get value out of Mookie Betts before he became a free agent. And folks with other teams, by the way, really do think the Red Sox got good value in return. But again, that's the Red Sox with all their money. And so you know that that sentiment is felt times three in the Indians organization, that they have to make sure they get proper value out of Lindor before he walks away as a free agent. And executives of the team say that the potential return will drop precipitously once you get to August 1st, if he's still on your team, because that would mean that he could impact, if Lindor's traded, he would only impact one pennant race versus two. So I do think at some point this summer he gets moved. Yes or no? Agree?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I'm surprised, frankly, they didn't trade him in the offseason. That would have been the easy thing to do, because you don't want this hanging over your team either for 3 or 4 months. And it's going to, you know, Lindor's going to be asked that question again and again and again. And that'll get old for him. So he's got to fight through some of those issues throughout the season, you know, as well.
Exactly. All right, Dave. Hey, thanks for being a leadoff hitter today.
I was always a leadoff hitter in Little League, not a very good one.
Numbers game.
Sarah Langs is a reporter and a producer for MLB.com. Sarah, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Buster, because I hear baseball sounds in the background, and I've been seeing tweets from camps, and my mom and I get to go in a couple of weeks, so baseball is back. I'm doing great.
Yeah, as I'm taping this podcast, I'm sitting on a set of bleachers next to Field 5 in Rays camp. Got the sun on my back. You hear the John Deere four-wheelers going past, a lot of sprinkler systems going off as I'm doing the pod. Absolutely beautiful morning. And it's kind of fun to not talk about the Astros. I got to tell you, it felt like that when Mike Trout said what he said yesterday, in some respects, that was almost like an exclamation point. Like when the best player and the most respected player in the game comes out and says something, you don't feel like the Astros are going to be saying anything more, and everyone's going to begin to move on to what's going to be a really interesting season. I wanted to ask you about the three biggest issues that you see in baseball besides Astros stuff now. Give me your number one.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing I thought of with that is just, you know, what are the Dodgers going to be with Mookie Betts? We know they're going to be really good. This is a team that got a guy who won MVP 2 years ago. They were already projected to run away with their division. I think most people already were putting them into the World Series, even without Mookie Betts. And if you look at their projected WAR on Fangraphs, it's 54.4, which is second highest of any team behind the Astros. So just really trying to quantify what his impact is going to be, I think is going to be fascinating. And we know how much the Dodgers need to win, right? They've won 7 straight division titles, which is the third longest streak in the history of divisions since 1969. But each of the other teams to win at least 7 straight won at least one World Series in that stretch, the 91-05 Braves and the 98-06 Yankees. And obviously, we have not seen the Dodgers do that. We saw them get close in 2017 and 2018. And they've also been eliminated in the playoffs by the World Series champion in 4 straight seasons, dating back 2016, which is tied for the longest such streak all time with the 01-04 Yankees. So it just feels like there are a lot of streaks that they want to continue, also end, and, you know, they have to win at this point. It really feels like it, even more so than before they got Mookie Betts.
I talked to a general manager the other day with another team, and he said out loud what I've been thinking is that I really feel like it was important for the Dodgers front office to add a significant piece this winter, because the Dodgers have had this challenge of pushing the rock up the hill every year, right? You almost get there in 17. You almost get there in 2018. You think you're going to get there in 2019, and you're shocked by the Nationals. So emotionally, it felt like that the Dodgers really needed to add a major piece to help the players who've been there trying to push that rock. All right, what's your second issue?
So second one is in the Yankees camp. And I think it's, you know, the question is whether they're on a collision course with the Dodgers, which we talked about, you know, back in January, and, you know, what the impact of Gerrit Cole is. And if you go back to that projected WAR, they're projected for 23.7 WAR from their pitchers. That's starters and relievers combined, which is the most of any team. And that's what we saw be a bit of the Achilles heel last year, right? There was no true ace. Luis Severino was hurt. And, you know, James Paxton was good, but also spent time being injured, couldn't quite carry the team. Masahiro Tanaka also good, but wasn't that one true ace that the Yankees were looking for. They went out, they got him, they got the big name that we've been sort of waiting on them to acquire, whether it was via trade or in any other way, over the last few years. So is that finally what puts them, you know, over the hump and gets them at least into the World Series? And I think it's fascinating to have these teams that are such powerhouses, and yet we're sitting here saying, you know, it's World Series or bust, but I really feel like it is for them. And I mean, you know, so far from now, but the idea of a Yankees Dodgers World Series, just from the historical standpoint, you know, Timmy and I would just be absolutely loving that. I mean, they've met in 11 postseason series, which is 4 more than any other matchup in postseason history. Obviously, all in the World Series. It's all those World Series really in, you know, the 40s and 50s. But then, of course, you know, the last time they met was in 1981, Dodgers 1-6. So I think that whether the Yankees can finally make it to the World Series now and potentially win it is a big one.
And I think Luis Severino being bumped back to the number 2 spot will be a good thing for him, as someone who tends to put a lot of pressure on himself, and having Gerrit Cole as the number 1, I think will be beneficial to him and to Masahiro Tanaka. Okay, what's your third issue?
So the third one is whether, and this is the one that is the biggest issue, I would say, will the Angels pitching be enough to get Mike Trout back into the playoffs, right? We saw them really upgrade offensively. Anthony Rendon, huge signing. Even just the return of Shohei Ohtani, like, I know he played last year, but the fact that he's going to be back as a pitcher, all of that. But is this all going to be enough? Because if you go to their depth chart right now on the team page, Andrew Heaney is listed as the number 1 pitcher, then Julio Teheran, then Dylan Bundy. Teheran had sort of a sneakier, better year last year. Perhaps he had a 3.81 ERA, but Heaney, 4.91, Bundy, 4.79. I mean, it's just really a question of whether it's going to be enough. And you just, everyone wants to see Mike Trout in the playoffs, you know? I mean, this is what we want to see. We want to see him get to go a little deeper than he did in that one time in 2014. And my idea of how they could maybe make it work is going to be from their defense. They had 23 outs above average in 2019. That's infielders and outfielders, which was tied for 4th most in the majors. So it wasn't just Andrelton Simmons. And I think that talking about run prevention, I think it's going to have to come from the defense. So we'll see. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I would really like to see them win a wild card.
And I do wonder, you know, all the emotional toll that'll be taken on the Astros, and if that'll, along with the departure of Gerrit Cole, pushes Houston back into the pack, you know, closer to where Oakland and the Angels and maybe the Rangers are going to be. All right, Sarah, thanks for doing this. Good to talk with you again.
Yeah, great to talk with you. Thank you so much, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
All right, Buster, first round of Bleacher Tweets for the Daily Podcast. And first up is Jackson at Summer of Jack. He says, Buster, what are the chances that Rob Manfred loses his job over the Astros cheating scandal? Based on recent player comments, it doesn't seem like they believe he's the commissioner who can make baseball America's pastime again.
Yeah, Rob Manfred doesn't work for the players. He works for owners, and the owners have made a ton of money, especially since that last CBA was negotiated and the Major League Baseball routed the union in those negotiations. Rob Manfred's on very solid ground because of the bottom line.
Yep, that's what I figured. They're making money. They don't care. And our second Bleacher Tweet for today, our last one, Johnny Optimism at Johnny Optimism on Twitter. Is it an empty threat by Major League Baseball to hand out suspensions for throwing at Astros batters? They have a hard enough time as it is proving intent. Also, wouldn't it benefit the Astros if teams were reluctant to pitch to them inside for fear of suspensions?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Johnny Optimism has a cynical take on it. you know, the idea that he feels like it's an empty threat. I agree. They can't tell. How can you tell? Like, if it's in the sixth inning of the first game of the season and they're two outs and there's nobody on base and one of the Astros gets drilled in the side and we're all going to be wondering, and then the pitcher comes into the clubhouse after the game and said, I was trying to pitch inside and that one got away, echoing that longtime pitcher's refrain in these situations, who's going to prove otherwise? You can't discipline it. I do think it's an empty threat. I heard Ron Renicki, the Red Sox manager, talk yesterday about how some players don't like to do this stuff. Some pitchers don't, you know, they get anxiety over having to throw at hitters. But there probably are going to be guys on other teams who are going to be looking for a little frontier justice. I think that's just a fact, but there are going to be times when we won't know with 100% certainty that it took place. I don't think there are going to be a lot of situations like we saw with Ryan Dempster and Alex Rodriguez, where it was very clear the intent of the pitcher in terms of rendering some discipline by himself.
It's interesting that you say that about some pitchers not really being into it, because that actually makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you are looking to cause bodily harm to a fellow human being. And I'm actually surprised that doesn't come up in this conversation more often. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And that's Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets. Get at us Monday through Friday, every day, Buster. We're on that train.
We are on the train. And before we go, I just want to let everybody know, and Taylor, you can jump in here. The goal this year is to trim the podcast. There's a lot of research out there in terms of, you know, how long people listen to podcasts. In the past, in the first years, we'd have podcasts up to an hour. In recent years, it's been more like 45 minutes to 50 minutes. This year, we're aiming to do about 30 minutes because the research shows that a lot of listeners feel like that's more digestible. So if you feel like it's a little shorter this year, well, you're right. It's going to be shorter, Taylor.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the idea is, you know, we have many loyal listeners. We don't want them to get behind the eight ball. You know, you miss a show or two and then you feel like you're having to scramble to catch up. But, you know, these episodes are a little bit shorter. So, you know, if you want to roll through a few, it won't be as arduous of a task for you. So hopefully you guys enjoy the shortened format and let us know how you feel about it as we continue on through spring training.
And that's it for today. My thanks to Taylor and to Troy and to Sarah and to Dave. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll be in Braves camp.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.